After this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is ill." So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told to Jacob, "Your son Joseph has come to you." Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you. And I will make of you a company of peoples and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession.' And now your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Paddan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem." When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me here." And he said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your offspring also." Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth."
Brilliant. Thank you very much for reading that for us, Miriam. Now, I said earlier on that we were starting a series in Psalm 23, so you might have been surprised that our reading was from Genesis 48. We will be referring back to Genesis 48 later on in the talk, but most of our time will be spent in Psalm 23. So if you do want to flip forward in your Bibles to Psalm 23 now, that would be great. I'm also putting a link in the chat if that's easier for you to access electronically as well. A couple of things that might just help. Obviously, having your Bible there or having access to the psalm will be really helpful. But also, you might want to just change the view on Zoom to help you focus in. So in the top right-hand corner, there's a little button that allows you to put it on speaker view. That basically just fills your screen with my face, which, you know, might not be desirable, but hopefully will help you focus a little bit more on what I'm saying this morning. I'll also be putting some graphics up on the screen for you as well. Let me pray and ask for God's help as we come to look at these really famous and significant words together. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to give you great praise and thanks this morning that you are a God who feeds us. Lord, thank you that you feed us by your word, your precious word. And Father, we pray this morning that as hungry sheep, we would find ourselves satisfied in you, satisfied by your word, and Lord, satisfied that we are safe and secure in your flock. Father, please speak to us where we are. Lord, you know everyone here. You know our worries and our fears. Lord, may these words be precious words that bring comfort and a real sense of peace to our souls. As we study them together this morning, for your glorious name's sake. Amen. Brilliant. Well, as I said earlier, we are going to be working through Psalm 23, one verse at a time. And in many ways, these words in Psalm 23 are some of the most familiar and precious words in the Bible. They'll be very familiar to you if you've been a Christian for any length of time. And they really do have the power to stir hope in our souls. And that really is my prayer for us this morning, is that we, as we contemplate these profound words together, words of truth, that our gaze will be lifted from the worries and the cares of this current moment to see the one who is caring for us in this moment, so that we can have rest for our souls. That's what we so desperately need, isn't it? Rest. Our lives are so busy and pressured, our minds so easily filled with anxiety and fear, particularly during this coronavirus season. We look around the world and things are not as they were. Things seem to be falling apart around us, and we look to the future and feel anxious and uncertain. Well, what we need to know above all else this morning is that we, if we know Jesus, we are safe and secure in the tender care of our good shepherd. Now, it may be that you're here this morning and you don't yet know Jesus as your saviour, as your king, as your shepherd. Perhaps you're feeling a bit like a lost sheep, staring into the headlights, confused by all that's going on in the world, not knowing where to find answers. Well, again, as we look at the Bible together this morning, my hope and prayer for you is that you would hear the invitation of Jesus to come and be part of his flock. Now, that video we watched earlier of the shepherd calling his sheep, of him feeding them and caring for them, perhaps that might be you this morning. You want to be like one of those sheep for the first time running to hear Jesus' voice, to receive his care and protection, to become part of his flock. Because the reality is that we all look for care and protection somewhere. We're all looking for safety and security in something or in someone. Something or someone is always our functional shepherd, the thing that brings us a sense of security, the thing that we trust to protect us and provide for us the things that we need. For some of us, I guess that will be our family. Others, our career. Others will be looking to science or evidence or reason to be the shepherd and guide that leads us through this world. I wonder, though, if any of those can lead us to say, as King David does at the start of this great psalm, I shall not be in want. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As David reflects on who his shepherd is, he says, there is nothing that I'm lacking, nothing that I'm wanting for with my shepherd. Now, I guess that could seem like an outrageous claim. How can David really say that he wants for nothing? But I hope as we dig into this psalm, we see that he's not exaggerating. In fact, this is his daily experience of being part of God's flock, of having God as his shepherd, and that his experience can be our experience today. Now, because we're just focusing in on verse one, we're going to break it down into two simple parts and reflect on each in turn. The first thing David says here is, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, these words are made particularly profound, I think, because they come from the lips of David. We know that because just before those words, the Lord is my shepherd, it says in our Bibles, a psalm of David. It means that he has played a significant part in writing this psalm. Now, here in David, we have one of the most successful, one of the most prominent kings in the history of Israel. And so we might be tempted to wonder, well, why does he need a shepherd? He's got great riches, great power, great influence. Couldn't he take care of himself? And he was incredibly powerful, extremely successful, both in battle and in leadership. And in fact, God had described David as the shepherd of my people Israel in 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 2. He said David's role was to be the shepherd of his people. So it's quite incredible that here in Psalm 23, we see David not viewing himself first and foremost as the shepherd or as a great king, but as a sheep with an even greater shepherd. In these words, he's saying, just like everyone else, he needs God's care and protection. Now, I wonder actually if one of the reasons he wrote this psalm was to keep reminding himself that despite all the wealth and the power, all the success that he had, he was not safe and secure because of any of those things, but only because of God's daily care, provision, and protection of him. David was not safe and secure because of who he was, but because of whose he was. Now, David himself was personally acquainted with shepherding sheep. If you've read the Bible, if you've read particularly that famous story of David and Goliath, you'll know that David had been left out in the fields tending to the sheep, whilst his brothers had been sent off to battle. And so when David uses this description of the shepherd, it's not one that he's using lightly or without knowledge of what he's saying. He knows exactly what he has in mind. Now, at one level, we might be tempted to think, isn't this too lowly an image for God? Shepherding's a very mucky, hands-on kind of a job. Is it too soft or too humble an image? But God, in his kindness, throughout the Bible, uses pictures that help us glimpse something of who he is, even if they don't say everything there is to say about him. But they're there to give us a fresh lens, a different perspective on a different aspect of his character, so that we might know him more clearly and cling to him more closely. And I think there are two aspects of this word shepherd that I want to really draw out for us this morning, and that is protection and provision. Protection and provision. And I think these two themes will actually keep coming back up in slightly different ways from different vantage points as we work our way through the whole of Psalm 23 over the summer. And they're both essential. You see, to be a shepherd in the time of David, as it is today, was actually an incredibly hard job. As David famously went out to fight the great Philistine soldier Goliath, he actually said it was his experience as a shepherd that had equipped him to go out into battle. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, as he was stood before King Saul saying, "I'll be okay, send me out to fight this soldier," he said this: "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear, and they took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." You hear what David's saying? He's saying being a shepherd in his day meant fighting lions and bears to keep the sheep safe. I'm guessing that's not the common experience of the shepherd today in rural England, which is perhaps why we don't necessarily think of the idea of a shepherd, the picture of a shepherd, as one of brave protection. But that's the kind of picture that comes to mind for David because of the nature of shepherding in his day. In fact, because of this, because it was such a dangerous profession that required great courage, it was actually very common at the time for kings and rulers of nations to be known as the shepherds of their people. It was a marker of bravery and might, a designation that they were the ones who could be trusted to protect and provide for their people. So what a fitting description for our God. The Lord is my shepherd. Just as David had put his life on the line to save his sheep from death at the hands of lions and bears, so our God puts his life on the line to save us from death. Which is why when Jesus came, the Son of God, God in the flesh, he picked up this imagery of being a shepherd. And famously in John chapter 10, he described himself like this. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep, but I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." What a wonderful description of Jesus. He's saying he's willing to come and literally lay down his life for us. Now, these weren't just poetic words that Jesus spoke. These were words that Jesus lived. Jesus loved and cared for you so much that he literally laid down his life for you. He did something that we could not do. There is no other shepherd like Jesus. That's why he said, "I am the good shepherd." There are no others. Now, as I said at the start, we are all following shepherd of some kind or another. But there are none like Jesus. When you consider the other religions or the other philosophies in our world, not one of them has a God or a prophet who is willing to step in and get down in the muck of our world and even die to rescue. But Jesus is, and he does. And incredibly, he invites you to be part of his flock, to enjoy his provision and his protection, his sacrificial self-giving care. So if you are here this morning and you don't yet know Jesus as your savior or your shepherd, he is calling you this morning. Like that shepherd in the video calling out to his sheep, he's saying, "Come, come, come be fed, come receive care, so come receive protection." So will you listen to his voice? Will you come to him and find restoration for your soul, as David describes in verse 3? Will you come and receive protection from the ultimate enemy that we all face, death? You see, the shepherds of this world can take us so far. They offer us certain things, but they cannot offer life beyond the grave. But you see, David, as he writes his psalm, can rightly say with confidence, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Because David knows that God is the Lord of life. And we know that Jesus is the Lord who conquered death by dying and rising again, so that we can even face death with confidence because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, that's where the Bible reading that we had earlier from Genesis 48 comes in. You can flick there if you want, or you can just cast your mind back to what we heard. Genesis 48 is an incredible passage recounting Jacob's life. And a moment when he's coming to the end of his life, he looks back and he reflects. Now, he was a man who had an incredibly convoluted and complicated story, a life that was chaotic. He had two wives, two mistresses, 12 sons. He tricked his father into giving him a blessing that wasn't meant for him, but for his older brother. He was tricked into marrying the wrong woman. He endured the pain and the hardship of losing his favorite son, Joseph. He'd been tricked into thinking that he was dead. He lived through a time of great famine, and he had to try and care for this massive family of his during that time. And as he comes to the end of his long, adventurous life, he takes time to look back and reflect. And as he does so, as he looks back on all those twists and turns, all those challenges and all those joys, He says to his son Joseph, who he knows now is not dead, but alive. He says, verse 11, I never expected to see your face again. And behold, God has let me see your offspring as well. He's surprised by God's kindness in these later years, letting him see the son he thought was dead. And then he goes on to describe God like this in verse 15 of Genesis 48, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. Now, that's the first time in the Bible where God is described as a shepherd. He's looking back and he's reflecting on all the ups and downs, the twists and turns, and he's saying, this is who God has been to me. A shepherd who has cared for me, who has protected me, who's led me, who's guided me. Even as things, from my perspective, seem like they've gone utterly out of control. You see, God is not simply a crutch for the needy, nor is he a fair weather friend who's only there for the good times. He is the one who walks with us, who guides us through the ups and the downs, the twists and the turns of our life's big adventure. And who will, if we'll let him, guide us safely to our journey's end. So that we, with Jacob, can one day, as we approach the end of our lives with our eyes growing dim, say, yes, the Lord has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. And that means that we can face the future with certainty. David goes on, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the second major thing I want to focus on this morning. I shall not want. You see, as David contemplates the Lord as his shepherd, he is utterly confident that he will never be in need of anything. He's basically saying, God is just such a generous provider that there will never be a moment in my life where I need to worry about having the things that are necessary for life. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel. He's not saying, yes, everything I desire will be mine. He's not saying I'm necessarily going to be rich or I'll have everything I ever want. But he is content that everything he needs will be provided. Now, of course, David, like us, doesn't know, as he writes these words, what the future will hold. Will he have to face battles that seem insurmountable? Yes, he did. Would there be enemies that would intimidate him? Yes. Would there be health scares or family crises? Yes. Would he sin and find himself guilty and ashamed? Yes. But in all of these things and many more, David's experience of the Lord was the same. The Lord was his shepherd. And he knew as he looked ahead to the uncertain, the unknown future, that he could with confidence know that no matter what would come his way, the Lord would not be lacking, and he would not be lacking in anything that he needed to face it. There would be grace in abundance, love overflowing, promises to cling to, protection to rely upon, and provision for every circumstance. That had been his experience from all of his life. He had no reason to doubt that God would change now. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to choosing a new broadband provider or a mobile phone provider or selecting a new car or actually buying anything, I like to go for a brand that I know and that I trust or that I can read up some great reviews online about. I want to check it out and check out what everyone else is saying. And if you like, David here is giving a 5-star rating, a 5-star rave review about the Lord as his shepherd. He's saying, look, I've got no reason to doubt. As I look back on my experience of God being my shepherd, there is nothing in my past experience of the Lord or my present experience that leads me to think I would be better off with another shepherd. Yeah, if there was a checkershepherd.com, the Lord would be at the top. 5-star rating. I wonder, would you say the same about the Lord or about the shepherd that you're following? Because I know that as I look back on my life, I've experienced the Lord's care and provision countless times and in so many ways. It would take ages to go through them all, but here are a few examples. The Lord has given me a loving family and a loving church family. He's provided me with friends to help me through dark times, the valleys of family illness and mental health struggles. The sleep-deprived nights in those early days with our children, he's sustained me through. When we've been at or beyond our ability to cope as a family, the Lord has been with us. He's sustained us. And in more recent months, as I look back on lockdown, there have been those small mercies that have been wonderful provisions from the Lord. The daily sustenance and nourishment of his word, teaching me the right things that I've needed to hear at just the right moment. Sending someone with a small encouragement to keep me going when I was tempted to give up, or just simply sunshine that we had for weeks on end at the beginning of lockdown. All of these lead me to echo David's assessment of the Lord, to say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, from the world's perspective, you could say I'm lacking in a whole load of things. I'm not particularly rich. I don't have a particularly big house or a fancy car. I've never been abroad on holiday. There are exciting experiences that I've never had. But you know what? With the Lord, with Jesus as my shepherd, there is nothing that I'm lacking. And there is nothing that I will ever lack with him. Our past experience of the Lord's goodness can and should lead us to face the future with confident assurance. That's what we see in verse 6. Now, we're not going to spend lots of time in Psalm 23, verse 6, because that's someone else's job for another day. But David says, as he looks back and as he looks forward, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's not saying that there will never be anything that he desires extra from what he has. But when push comes to shove, what he actually needs will be freely given. It's a bit like when Jesus in the Gospels encourages us to consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And he says, look, these things, the birds and the lilies, have everything they need for life. God feeds them. He clothes them. God provides all that they need. And then Jesus goes on to say, God does this for the grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. How much more will the Lord provide for you? We can rest in God's loving care and provision. We can learn contentment and learn not to be anxious about our futures when we know the Lord is truly our good shepherd. As we look ahead, we simply don't know what lies on the horizon. Anyone who tells you at this moment that they know is frankly lying to you. We don't know if those in our church family will face serious illness through coronavirus, cancer, or something else. Whether we'll face unemployment, financial hardship, economic crises. We don't know whether we will have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death in the coming weeks and months. But if we know the Lord as our shepherd, we can know this. If we face any or all of those things, we will lack nothing as we face it. He will walk with us. He will bear our burdens. He will protect us and provide us with all that we need to walk the path that lies ahead. And God willing, we will come through it all saying, yes, he is our good shepherd. And he has led us and guided us all the days of our life. Let me pray for us that we would know the Lord's shepherding care today and always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are our good shepherd. Father, thank you that you care for us so deeply, that you were willing to send your son, the Lord Jesus, to lay down his life for us so that we can have confidence to face this life and the life to come, knowing with certainty that we are safe and secure forever. Father, when we are fearful, when we're anxious about the future, help us not to listen to the voices all around us, but to listen to your voice alone and to receive your comfort and care, to have assurance of your love, to know that we lack nothing that we need, to face everything that comes our way with faith and with joy in Jesus. For your glorious name's sake, we pray. Amen.